Hello, good evening. My name is Deolu, and I want to welcome you to tonight's podcast. And this is a weekly podcast by Global Gospel Channel every Wednesday between 9 and 9:30 p.m. UK time. And we are happy to have you with us tonight. Tonight we are going to be discussing an exciting topic, walking with God. What does it take to walk with God? And I've got here with me Pastor Biodo, who is going to be helping us to unravel tonight's topic. Pastor B, you are welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Yes. So my first question tonight is, what does it mean to walk with God, and how can one start walking with God?
Okay, thank you very much. I think maybe let me first try to discuss what it means to walk with God. I think right from the book of Genesis, we encountered that word walk with God when we read in Genesis chapter 5 about Enoch. So the Bible says that, and Enoch walked with God, and it was not, because God took him. And later on also, we learned about Noah, that Noah walked with God. And not only that, we also understood that God himself reached out to Abraham and told Abraham that walk before me and be thou perfect. So when we say, what does it mean to walk with God? We know that there is a demand for someone to walk with God, and there are people that have walked with God. And a good way to understand the concept of walking with God is maybe to look at what we can't see when we say two people walk together. Because when you say two people walk together, you are talking about a situation in which they are in close proximity. You know, you can't say that, oh, I'm walking with so-so-so and so, and the person is far away from you. Before you can walk together, that means you are close.
Yes.
So there is that aspect of close proximity. There is aspect of, you know, the passion is there, the love is there, the understanding is there, the agreement is also there to be able to go in a particular direction. So when we say that we walk with God, we are talking about a feeling of a closeness with God, a feeling of love for God, a feeling of the presence of God, not just a one-off intimacy, but something that is constant, something that is present, you know? So is that closeness with God? So that's essentially what it means to work with God. And when you ask about how do we start working with God, there is a peculiarity about working with God. And Christianity as a whole is about a work with God. And something about it is that the beginning of that walk with God starts with God himself. You know, if you have somebody that you want to have as a friend and you want to walk together, somebody will first initiate that walking together. It's either party A or party B decides, oh, can we be friends? Can we go in this direction? Can we do business together, for example? Somebody always initiates. Now, in the context of walking with God, the original initiator is usually God himself. You know, Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Okay? He says, I have chosen you. And again, we learned that even when Jesus wanted to appoint his disciples and he appointed them, the first reason why he was appointing them is that they should be with him. So it is God himself that first and foremost initiates that aspect of working with him. And how does he do that? He summons people. Okay? There is what we call the divine summon. And that could be through a message you listen to. It could be through the word of God you read. It could be through various channels. But there's something that draws your heart towards wanting to be born again. Okay? that is the initiation of the call to work with God. So you can't start it on your own. There's that divine input too from God that draws you to a work.
Thank you very much. When you said the drawn, when someone is being drawn or summoned by God, does that mean God is calling that person unto salvation, or could it be that he's calling someone into, say, a ministry or working with God? Can you be a child of God and working with God will be going into a ministry or just being saved as a child of God?
Okay, there are two legs to the summon, divine summon of God. Okay, now the first leg to the divine summon of God is a divine summoning unto salvation. Okay, so in which God summons somebody, and that working with God that we are talking about here is that divine summon to a walk with God in salvation. Okay, there's another aspect where God can summon someone who is already a child of God to a particular assignment or to a particular service. Okay, so that's the second leg of what we can refer to as the call of God. So there's a call of God unto salvation. So, and it is ultimately for you to have a walk with God. And that is why it is very difficult for somebody to just decide, as it were, that, oh, I found God, you know, as it were. If the correct aspect of it is that God himself found you and summons you. Now, when God summons you, he invites you into a walk with him, into salvation. When you respond to that divine summon in your heart is when you become saved. For example, is when you repent of your sin, is when you say, Lord, I'm giving my life to you. But there's something that drew your heart. You listened to a sermon and you were cut to the heart and you felt, oh, I need to be born again now. What has happened spiritually is that God summoned you. Now, you then took a decision to accept that divine summon. Now, there are some people that God will summon, okay, that they should come into a relationship with him and they will reject because your own personal will is still there. Now, when you become a child of God also, there is a continuous summon of God to a deeper level of relationship. Because just like in physical aspect of relationships, we have, you know, different levels of depth of relationship. There's also different levels of depth of relationship with God. So you could be a child of God and you are not deep in your relationship with God. And yet God himself will continue to summon you to a deeper relationship with him, which you can accept, which you may decide not to accept and just be at the periphery in working with him. So there is always that pull, your acceptance to go into that deeper level of that work with God will ultimately determine how you can grow. But again, when we have the opportunity, when you read Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 21, especially in NLT, you will understand that nobody can just say is coming to have a relationship with God except there is a divine summon by God. Okay, because he is the initiator of that work with him.
Thank you very much for stressing that out, that there has to be a divine summon. So no one can just wake up today and say, God is calling me and I want to go into so if God has not already placed that call on them. Thank you. The second question I've got here is that we know that working with God comes with his own demands, and we can see in the likes of when Elijah was going to called Elisha, and he threw his coat on him, and he has to, you know, go kill all his animals and bid his farewell to his family to follow him. Now, my question now is: what are the obstacles that one can face when it comes to having a relationship with God? So, if God is summoning someone, I believe there are obstacles. What are the obstacles that might want the person to say, you know what, these are the reasons why I can't accept the call or to respond to that someone.
Okay. Well, I think let me to somewhat extent focus on the salvation aspect, okay? Because if somebody doesn't really, if somebody is not saved, and someone is not walking with God, by the way of closeness to God, you can't even have a genuine, substantive, and effective ministry. Okay, so the cornerstone of Christianity is that closeness with God, and that is more of priority to God than our service to Him. Now, if there is a divine summon, if there is a draw in somebody's heart to a walk with God, the person can reject for any reasons of his own. But it is also possible for you to accept that summoning of God, that pull in your heart to a relationship with God, which makes you to become a Christian, by the way, okay, and not effectively walk with God. Now, not effectively walking with God can be a fault of your own based on some certain issues. Because as far as God is concerned, God is desirous of having that walk with us. If He is not, He's not going to summon you. He's not going to pull your heart in the first instance to have a relationship with Him. Okay? So most of the time, okay, or let me say all the time, the fault is not that of God. It is always usually on the part of man. Now, what are those things, therefore, that could impact on the smoothness of a relationship with God? Because just like relationships between, you know, man can be frosty, you can have it being rocky, you can have it not going on well and smoothly, the same thing can happen with God. Okay, you can seemingly be working with God and your relationship is becoming more distant and distant. Now, there are, when we go through the scriptures, there are some critical things that you will know about the work of God. And one vital scriptural passage has to do with Malachi chapter 6, verse 8, that says, God has made it clear to you, O man, okay, what is good, and what is it that the Lord requires. Now, unlisted three things. He said, first and foremost, you do justice. Secondly, you love kindness. And number three, you walk humbly with the Lord God. Now, let me try and buttress on these three points, you know, a little bit. Let me start with humility. There's something that God hates. God hates, you know, pride. Okay? There is nobody that is proud that can walk with God. Because one of the terms of working with God is dependence on God.
Yeah.
Okay, your ability to be able to trust Him, to be able to depend upon Him for your life in its entirety. Now, pride does opposite. Pride inputs into you independence. So you see somebody that wants you to depend on him, and you don't want to depend. So you begin to see that dichotomy. And underlining disobedience is actually pride, okay? Because disobedience is you know, a pride tells you, I can do it on my own, okay? And the philosophy, I can do it on my own, I can achieve it on my own, I can do it and escape with it, and so on and so forth, is trying to let you understand that, well, I've got the capacity to do some certain things on my own, and so you don't depend on God. And then you can go into sin. So humility. So humility is a vital obstacle. Pride is a vital obstacle to working with God. Okay? Now, then God hates wickedness. You know, when it when you talk about wickedness here, not being just, cheating others, okay, being wicked to others. So somebody that is wicked to other people cannot just work with you. And it says to love kindness. So because there is a good work that God has also called us to as children of God. So you discover that somebody that is wicked will not be kind. And somebody that is wicked will not do justly. We cheat other people. We try to manipulate things and issues. And God, you know, doesn't like those things. So in as much as you walk humbly with God, the Bible says that it is the meek that God will teach in his ways. So it is that kind of a person that God can even make revelations known unto. The person will take it open and make it. And it's also, it takes humility to read the Bible, listen to the message of God, and go and carry it out. Those who are not humble say, what are they talking about? What are they talking about? I know what I'm doing. You understand? So these are things that are essential obstacles, you know, that can prevent us from working with God. And everything flows from the heart. Okay? And that's why the Bible also says a pride, you know, a proud heart. Okay? Once your heart is proud, ultimately it will reflect in your character, will reflect in your attitude towards God, and you won't be able to have that small relationship.
Amen. Thank you very much. I think those are very vital points when it comes to obstacles. Now I've got another question here, and it says that how do we deal with the periods when we feel distant from God? There are times when, you know, you've accepted the call, you are on the journey, and, you know, disappointments, discouragements here and there, and it's like God is at a far distance, and, you know, and, you know, it's a very horrible feeling as a child of God. So how do you deal with those kind of feeling, those kind of being alone, as if you know, like you are the only one carrying the body, and you can't find help from anywhere, or people to support or partner and help you to, you've got a vision, but to run with the vision has become a huge burden. So how do you cope with those times or periods?
Okay. Now, we need to be very sure whether it's actually a real distance or a passive distance. Because in spiritual things, you must be able to decipher that. Okay? Now, because if you are not deep in the things of the Spirit, you may not know that God is near just because of physical, you know, happenstance. If you are current with the Lord, the physical happenings may not be palatable, but there is a sure word of assurance that the Lord is with you. Okay? So we have to first and foremost be able to correctly, you know, decipher whether it's an actual distance or a passive distance. Now, let me talk about actual distance first. Now, what we mean by actual distance is a situation in which God is actually distant from you. And there are a few things that can make God to be actually distant. First and foremost is the subject of sin.
Sin.
Okay? That can make God to be actually distant from somebody. Now, that's one. The other thing that can make someone to be actually distant is the regularity of fellowship. And if I will try to break that one a little bit down, you know, I don't know whether it has happened to you before. You had friends many years back that you were best of friends. It could be in primary school, it could be in secondary school, and so on and so forth. And you see each other every day. You teach together, you visit each other, and then you moved on in life. Okay, attended different higher institutions, traveled to different places, and you haven't seen each other, you know, for quite a while, and you have not been talking. Now you discover that the more you are apart, the less closer you are. Okay, which is to let us understand that the regularity of contact is important in maintaining closeness. The same thing happens in spiritual things. The time spent together, the regularity of how we interact with God also impact on our closeness with Him. So you can experience, even when there is no sin that is involved, you can experience a situation in which your soul is famished, okay, because you are not feeding it. And you see, let me tell you, if you are somebody that has been reading the Word of God every day before, okay, you read it, you spend some time, maybe to do your devotional, to read your Bible in 1 year, and so on and so forth, and now you have been constant about it, and then you miss reading your Bible 2 days. Ideally, if you are spiritually healthy, by the time you are getting to the end of the second day to third day, you will be feeling that there is something missing in your life. That is already telling you that your soul is getting a bit famished or lean about the subject of the Word of God. Okay? Now, it's telling you something is already moving away. Now, the earlier you get back, oh, maybe I was crowded with a lot of activities, and then you get back into the world. Now, when you let it linger on, you are retraining your soul to be able to do without the Word of God. So you can discover that in the next 6 months, you, that within 48 hours of not reading the Bible, you feel that something is just, your soul is just somehow famished. It becomes easier for you that 5 days, 7 days, you don't even know you have not read the Bible personally at all. Okay? Now, that means you are reconditioning your soul. And that is drawing you apart from the Word of God and from God Himself. So what I'm saying in essence is that actual distance can be by subject of sin. In that situation, God Himself cuts Himself away, because He can't behold sin. He can't. There is no fellowship with the superior in disobedience. Okay? Or you initiated a distance by lack of your frequency. So when that happens, what you need to do is to reconnect yourself with God. Repent of your sin. If it is sin, if it is the fact that you have not been diligent enough in the things of the Spirit, walking with God in fellowship, in the Word of God and so on, then you get back to it. And then you discover that you begin to have that connection, you know, as before, you know. Now, where it is perceived, you can perceive it most of the time when your heart is crowded. Okay? Maybe because it's crowded by what is happening around you, by busyness and so on. Okay? And there are many things going on, and you want to feel the presence of God, as it were. You want to know what is God saying about this. Okay? Now, so what you only need to do is, if you can try as much as possible, that in spite of all the noises around in the environment, you still try to maintain a calmness within your spirit, you may still be able to pick up the voice of assurance of God, okay? Which lets you know that, yeah, the situation externally may not be palatable, but God is still with me, okay? And that is sufficient enough, because one with God is more than, you know, any other majority that you may want to have. Okay? And that can pull you through whatsoever situations you have. And that's why you can be, it can seem as if you are pushed on every side, you are this and that, and yet you are not broken, because there is a voice of assurance that keeps you moving on. Okay? So I think that's the way I will approach that.
Yeah, so this question just draws my attention to a scripture, the scripture and the story of Elijah, who just, you know, killed the prophet of Baal, called down fire from heaven, and just at the point whereby there was a demand on his head, he ran away, and he felt that he would like God to take him. And so in that scenario, though God indeed responded, but then the feeling of him wanting to give up, because he's a human, and I believe everyone who is genuinely working with God, we at some point have the feeling, you know, the feeling of you know, burnout, or, you know, you've been praying or teaching or ministry work, but at some point you just needed that time, and you felt, is God actually there to help me go through this stage, as God did in the case of Elijah? So how would you be able to combat the period where you needed to wait for God to respond, to help you in those critical moments?
Well, I think what is first and foremost important is, as much as possible, prioritizing that work with God. Having a time with God is important. Okay? Mm. And when it seems as if you are overcrowded, or you are burning out as a result of some certain things, what you also still need to do is to take a break, take a rest, and still it's still with that God that your source of strength is. Even for Elijah, God still asked him, he said he should take food, he ate and rested. Okay, yeah. Because he still needs that rejuvenation for him to be able to come back, you know, and get it right, what needs to be done. So we must not mistakenly take activity as a work with God. Okay, it's a component of it, but the mainstream of working with God is actually in your personal work with God, as it were. So you can't do a personal work with God and be burned out in a personal work with God. You can only be burned out in working for God. Okay, you there is nothing like a burnout in personal work with God. Do you understand? So if you burn out in working for God, so what you need it, and it also means that you have not been servicing your personal work with God. Do you understand? So if you are serving your personal work with God, you won't burn out in working for God, because within the context of that personal work with God, God will tell you some working for him you are not supposed to do, and that will not let you burn out. He will tell you administrations you are not supposed to accept. He will tell you trips you are not supposed to go, right from within working with him in your personal closet. So if you burn out, then it means you have not been servicing your personal work with God.
Amen. Thank you very much for stressing that point clearly. And yeah, viewers, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I hope you've been blessed with tonight's discussion, Working with God. And I hope that we find some new information in tonight's discussion that will help you in your personal relationship with God. And I pray, as you take this on board, I pray the Lord will help you through your journey with him, in Jesus' name. And next week will be another time where we will be coming up with another exciting topic on our podcast. Please, Wednesdays between the 9 and 9:30 p.m. UK time. And also don't forget that on Sunday, we do congregate in Portwood Library, for those who are in the UK, in Southampton, where we fellowship. There's an in-person fellowship, and you can also join online as well if you visit our website, www.ggchannel.co.uk. You can connect with us and hook up online with us on Sunday as we fellowship and also dig deep into God's word. And Pastor Bjorden, thank you for joining us tonight, and we will see you again next week. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah, fine. All right.